throughout the 19th century, our understanding of the natural world and the creatures that reside within its mysteries has grown at an exceptionally fast rate. It was in 1859 that Charles Darwin published one of the most important books of all time, The Origin of Species, a book that delves into the mechanics of evolution. The red kangaroo wasn't discovered until 1822. The megamouth shark wasn't discovered until 1976. The bonobo chimpanzee wasn't discovered until 1928. And the mountain gorilla wasn't discovered until as recent as 1902. Before many of these discoveries, these creatures would be deemed by many as nothing but tall tales to those who would have heard of them. And yet, our modern knowledge tells us that they would have been very wrong in this assumption. Perhaps it's due to this, at a time of constant discovery of the world around us, that it was so much easier to fool the public with an apparent monstrous discovery. My name is Luke Mordew, and this modern myth is the Hodag. It was way back in October of 1893 that the Near North newspaper reported that a mysterious creature had been spotted in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Here, the creature was described as having the head of a frog, the grinning face of a giant elephant, thick short legs set off by huge claws, the back of a dinosaur, and a long tail with spears at the end. It was also described as having a dragon's body and a fanged, snarly grin, whilst also smelling of buzzard meat and skunk perfume. Now, if you haven't already noticed, the description of this creature is up there with some of the strangest of urban legends, almost sounding cartoon-like in its appearance. Although, the newspapers ran with the story as truth, and many people in the local area believed it. The person who had originally instigated the story was also the one who had reportedly seen the monster for the first time. And this man's name was Eugene Shepherd. He was a well-known Wisconsin land surveyor and timber cruiser, but that's not all he was known for. He was also commonly known to be an avid prankster amongst the locals. Eugene would later gather a group together on the hunt for the creature, sticking to the claim that he was, in fact, telling the truth about what he had seen. He would claim that the creature was a terrible brute, with the strength of an ox and the ferocity of a bear, with the cunning of a fox. It is truly the most feared animal the lumbermen come into contact with. They would describe how the beast attacked and tore apart the dogs that the hunters had taken with them to assist in their chase. They would also explain that they had shot it with heavy rifles and large bore squirt guns loaded with poisonous water, but neither worked. They would state that they realized that the only way to finally kill the beast once and for all was by using dynamite, which they did, resulting in them returning with the charred remains of the supposed creature, now widely known by its official name, the Hodag. This written encounter with the Hodag would be the first time Eugene Shepherd would write about it, although he had apparently been telling tales of the beast for years prior in the several logging camps that were scattered around the woods of northern Wisconsin. In celebration of this event, they reenacted the encounter with the Hodag in a now infamous black and white local photograph, with the hunters standing around a replica of the beast, pretending to be hunting it. According to historian Kurt Kaltenhof, the word hodag originated as lumberjack slang for a grub hoe, a piece of kit used by the lumberjacks. However, by the time Eugene Shepherd had joined the ranks of the lumberjacks in the woods, the hodag had become a legend, morphing into a mythological monster that reportedly rose from the cremated remains of oxen. Oxen were commonly used as work animals in the timber camps, and their lives were undoubtedly tough. It was due to this harsh life, mixed in with the profanities and other crass behaviours directed towards them by the lumberjacks, that the demons that appeared from the ashes were vile and vengeful. Eugene Shepherd may not have invented the creature now known as the Hodag, but he polished it up, shone a spotlight on it, and gave it a PR spin for his gains with impressive results. He was considered to be an outgoing, funny man who was highly inventive and a good laugh. Although, it must be said that he was also known as being an undiagnosed alcoholic who was prone to taking his pranks too far, whilst also failing at his duties as a husband and father. 3 years after the dynamite lead hunt took place, Eugene Shepherd would appear in the newspapers again, this time claiming that he had captured a Hodag once more. Only this time, it was alive. Only a few days later, he caused a notable stir when he unveiled the Hodag that sat in a dimly lit tent at the first ever held Oneida County Fair. He would quickly hustle punters in and out of the tent, claiming it was for their own safety as they witnessed the foul-smelling beast that growled and hissed at them, chilling them to the bones with its frightful presence. What the visitors didn't know was that Eugene's friend, Luke Kearney, had built the 7-foot Hodag out of wood and cast-off hides from the local tannery, which is what was causing much of the smell. Inside the tent, Shepherd's sons would move the beast as if it were a puppet, making devilish noises from behind the curtain. It has been reported that Eugene made as much as $500 in a single weekend during this display of smoke and mirrors, meaning up to 5,000 people would have had to have come and viewed the beast a dime at a time. Eugene had fooled America, convincing thousands that the puppet he had in his tent was, in fact, a living, breathing monster. With today's understanding of the world, it seems baffling that anyone would fall for such an obvious trick. But perhaps it makes it a little easier to comprehend when we remind ourselves that the existence of dinosaurs was only technically discovered around 50 years before this event, and new, previously undiscovered animals were still being discovered fairly consistently. Although Eugene had made a hefty sum from a seemingly simple trick, he also had a far nobler purpose behind his trickery. The timber boom was about to end, and it was clear for all to see that the number of Wisconsin's white pines had dwindled due to the thousands of lumberjacks mowing them down. In reaction to this, Eugene began to buy land that had been cleared, sectioning out parcels to sell to future farmers. If Rhinelander was going to survive, he would need to make sure it appeared on the public's radar so it would grab the attention of people looking to start afresh and build their businesses. I hope you're enjoying this chapter so far, and we will return to it. But first, I wanted to steal you away for a moment. I love what I do, and delving into the history of urban legends and folklore is as fascinating as it is rewarding. I feel fortunate to have thousands of people listening to my research each week. The kind messages I receive are both heartwarming and reassuring. However, it takes a very long time to create each chapter. And no matter how much I enjoy it, doing this for free is not always a possibility, leading to significant gaps between seasons, gaps that I hope to shorten in the future, and this is where your support is needed. Through Patreon, you can subscribe for as little as £3 a month, less than a latte at your local barista. By doing so, you will receive all episodes without any advertisements or breaks. You will also be able to listen to each chapter the Friday before the general public. On top of this, you'll receive a weekly newsletter and discounts on merchandise. We're not just building a community there, but forging a fellowship of folklore enthusiasts. Join our private group chats, where you can share your stories, theories, and discoveries with like-minded individuals captivated by modern myths. Let's discover what you've heard, what you may want to hear, or what you think of any specific legend. Your support on Patreon isn't just a subscription. It's an investment in preserving our urban legend show. Please help us continue our journey and in return, become part of our team. Not only that, but if you join us today, you'll be entered into a prize draw where I'll be choosing 8 patron names at random before the next season begins. Once contacted, if permission is granted, you will be written into one of our new stories, putting you within the legends we tell. Visit our Patreon page by following the link in our show notes, clicking subscribe, and paying whatever you can afford to give. I look forward to your support as we continue to unravel folklore together. And now, back to the legend. The Hodag was a fictional creature that had begun to spread as an urban legend amongst the still fresh-faced country of the USA, and Rhinelander was at the very center of it. Even with his trickery, Eugene had not been remembered as a con artist by the locals, as he didn't necessarily fool everybody around at the time. And it's worth noting that he also reportedly always approached the existence of the Hodag with his tongue firmly in his cheek. In a beautiful sense of poetry, Rhinelander today has continued to be a tourist destination thanks to the existence of the Hodag legend. The beast is now the official symbol of Rhinelander, Wisconsin, and is even the mascot of the Rhinelander High School, where the students are affectionately known as Hodags. The monster also lends its name to several businesses and organizations, including the annual Hodag Country Festival. If you were to visit the website of Rhinelander, you'd see that it proudly claims to be the home of the Hodag. And if you were to drive into the city, you'd be greeted by a huge fiberglass sculpture of the Hodag. As if you visit the local ice arena, you'll find 2 more Hodags, one being a fully bodied copy. Another is the oversized head of a Hodag that blows smoke under its glowing red eyes. As an urban legend, the Hodag existed for a very short time. And although you'll find YouTube videos and strange documentaries where people claim to have witnessed the true Hodag in the wild, it is widely understood to be nothing but a hoax. The people of Rhinelander do not believe there ever was a real Hodag living in the woods of Wisconsin. And although it may no longer be considered a legitimate urban legend in today's society, it seems the legend of Eugene Shepherd and his creation will continue for many more years to come.
Urban Legends is researched, written, and produced by Luke Mordew. Original score by Billy Jupp, with additional sounds from storyblocks.com. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, click subscribe on your chosen podcast provider and delve into the mysteries of our previous and future chapters. To find more, including merchandise, video content, images, and more, visit urbanlegendsfolklore.com. If you have more information or a correction on something mentioned in this chapter, please get in touch through our website. We aim to ensure that all information provided is accurate and up to date, and this remains a top priority. If you want to support the show, receive early access, and have more of a say in what we do, then become a patron by clicking the link in our show notes. For these chapters in video format, simply search Urban Legends Folklore on YouTube. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads, and join our Facebook group by searching Urban Legends Folklore.